Now open your Bibles with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. We'll be reading first from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. Then we'll be turning over to read from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. We'll be particularly considering verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 7, and how Matthew picks up that verse, quoting it in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. So begin our reading then in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 10. Hear now the word of God. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord." Then he said, "Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah." If you would turn over with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. As for the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Our God, we praise you for the work that you have done in bringing about our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this word that we have heard tonight. And now as we think about these things, help us to truly understand what it means that Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, was given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past Monday, my family and I went outside. Went outside in the evening, and we looked to the southwest. And perhaps some of you did that. You went outside and you looked at the sky. Now, I don't often go out at night and just gaze at the sky. But this night we did, and we witnessed something that I've read has not been visible for some 800 years. I think it happened 400 years ago, but it didn't happen during the evening. And so 800 years it has been since this has been visible in the sky. We witnessed this bright light caused by both Saturn and Jupiter passing close to one another, and it was a sight to see. It was neat. Now, why did we go outside? Why did we know to go outside at that time? Well, we were told. But how is it that those who told us knew that we were to go outside? Well, they predicted it, didn't they? They were able to predict that at this particular time, these two planets would be passing and would produce this light in the sky. How were they able to predict this? They were able to predict this because people who had a lot more skill in math and other things and other sciences than I do were able to put the data together. They had data. This had happened before. This was a natural prediction based on natural science. And we can make a lot of evaluations in our natural world when we have the data. We can make some very accurate predictions. But one thing we cannot do is make a prediction without any data. We can't make a prediction without any data. We can't say that this is going to happen when we've never seen it happen before. Only God can do that. But God does do that. We, if we attempted to do that, would be flying blind. We'd have no clue. Now, there are those today who do try to predict things without data. And they're often wrong. But God is able to do this. And He does this. God is the Creator. We are created. God, we're told, calls things as though they were that are not. God speaks and creation happens. That's what God does. And this is why the prophet Isaiah is able to, 700 years before the events that occurred at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is why he is able to accurately predict that this would happen. Because he's a prophet of God. He speaks for God. And Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 7, particularly in verse 14, he prophesies that one would be born, this sign would be given to Ahaz and to others, this sign of a child who would not come by natural means, but would come born of a virgin, conceived by a virgin and born, a son that would come into the world. And by this prophecy, we learn, as Matthew brings it out, of the conception and the birth of the coming Messiah. And that this would be a supernatural work of God. It had to be so. Because Jesus, as the Messiah, as the one mediator between God and man, had to be both God and man. This is why Jesus was able to say, and did say to his disciples, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." This is why in the New Testament we read things tell us that Jesus, the Son, is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person. That He is the image of the invisible God. You see, in Jesus, God came to be with us. Now let's reflect on that for a moment. Don't miss this. In Jesus, God came to be with us. God desired to be with us. God made it happen. He did it. This is not what every other religion says, is it? Think about it. Every other religion says God is somewhere above you and you need to go to Him. You need to elevate yourself. And see if you can get there. But not so with Christianity. Only Christianity tells us that God came down. That God came down. That God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. This is good news. This is good news. This is that gospel that we need to hear. This is that salvation that we need to hear day by day. Because if God did not come down for us, we would never be able to come to Him. Period. If God didn't come down for us, there is no hope that we could ever come to Him. But God did. This is the gospel message of good news. And in this series, we've learned that this was first proclaimed in the garden, that it was then promised to Abraham, that it was prefigured by David, and now we see it was predicted by prophets. Many places in the Old Testament, we see predictions of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, tonight I want to look at this prophecy by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, this sign that was given to Ahaz, king of Judah, who lived from B.C. 735 to 716, and Isaiah, his ministry was 760 to 673. This would have been roughly 700 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a very specific prophecy that is given. What does he say? A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son whose name will be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, I asked my children the other night, what does Emmanuel mean? And I taught them some Hebrew. Im means with, anu, us, and El, God. Im, anu, El, Emmanuel. The with us God, or God with us. That's what he will be called, God with us. And Matthew picks up on this. Again, 700 years later, Matthew, who's writing primarily to a Jewish audience, informs his readers that Jesus is the one of whom Isaiah spoke. Matthew tells us that Jesus was to be conceived and born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit in fulfillment of the prophecy given by Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14. In order to be Emmanuel, in order to be God with us. In fact, the Gospel of Matthew begins with this great, great truth that Jesus is Emmanuel, Jesus is God with us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and ends with the declaration by Jesus that he will always be with us. And lo, I will be with you, always, even to the end of the age. From beginning to end, Matthew is showing us the God who is Emmanuel, God with us, his people. So as we look at this tonight, as we think about this prediction that the virgin would conceive and give birth to a son and his name would be called Emmanuel, and that this Emmanuel who was to come is the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to see that in the birth of Jesus, God fulfilled his prophetic word given through Isaiah to be God with us. To be God with us. And in doing so, God himself came down from heaven, identifying with us in order to dwell with us. Not only now, but for eternity. I hope you leave here tonight with the joy in your heart, knowing who God is, knowing that God is with us, that God knows us, and that God will never leave us. Let us see how through the birth of Jesus, God came to identify with us. He is Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Jesus is the God who identifies with us in our humanity. He took to himself human flesh. Jesus is fully human like us in every way except one. We'll get to that in a moment. Jesus is fully human. He had to be a fitting substitute for his people. He's fully human, but he is not like us in one way. We sin. He had no sin. Sinless. And not only then is he fully human, but he is the only faithful human. No original sin. No actual sin. But know this. He's forever human. We don't think about that as often as we should. Jesus came, the Son of God came, took to himself human flesh, one person with two natures, divine and human. And he ascended into heaven, and he is in heaven now, the God-man, now and forever. Now that's good news, because it means there's a human in heaven. And if there's a human in heaven, then guess where we also can go? Heaven. Jesus went before us, the firstborn of many brethren. Jesus is God who identifies with us in our humanity, but also the one who identifies with us in our suffering. He came and he suffered greatly. We'll get to that in the great suffering that he experienced on the cross. But he suffered even in this life. He was not born in a palace, although he is a king. He was born in a lowly state. And this is great comfort for us. I mean, have you ever felt as if no one understood you? Not one person. Or no one knows or could possibly know what you are feeling or what you are going through. I think that's the lie that often we can learn, we can start to believe. No one understands me. There's no one who's going through what I am going through. There's no one who knows what it feels like to be in my shoes. Well, I'm going to encourage you that there is always one who knows. There's always one who knows. Don't ever think there's no one who understands me, but know this truth, that there is at least one human who knows what you are going through, the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only does he know what you're going through, but he is with you in the suffering. He is with you there in the suffering. You're never alone. He knows. He's the God who identifies with us in our humanity, with us in our suffering, but most importantly, with us as our substitute. And we've already looked at the fact that Jesus, although he is fully human, was like us in every way, but had no sin. He is sinless. But although he never sinned, he knew what it was like to feel the weight of sin's consequences, didn't he? He felt the consequences of sin in general by living here in this world, didn't he? But think about this. He took upon himself the shame of the cross, the horrors and the pain of sin for his people. If anyone knows what sin is like, the consequences of it, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows. And he came to do something about it. In fact, in Jesus we have our true Passover lamb. As John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God who was sent to take away sins. Think about this in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 12, we read of the instructions given to Moses for the people of God for the Passover. A young lamb was to be taken. Very young, year old, without defect, perfect. Was to be taken on the 10th day and was to be kept for 3 days. Now think about this. If I brought a lamb into my house, a little baby lamb, my kids would start to love that lamb. Love that lamb. But here's what was going to happen. On the 14th day, that lamb was to be killed. And the blood was to be put on the doorposts. That lamb in the place of the lives of those who were in the home. That's the substitute. But we know that the blood of lambs, of bulls, of goats cannot satisfy for sin. One had to come who could, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about the one who was born, conceived and born to Mary, I want you to think about this. We've had two little babies born in the past few days, and I love little babies. They are wonderful and such a joy to be around and to hold, and it's a joy to baptize little babies and to take them into my arms. But think about this, that Mary would have cradled Jesus in her arms. The head that she put her hand behind is the head that thorns later would stick into. If you've ever been around a little baby, you know, they grab your finger. They hold on. The very hand that grabbed the finger of Mary and Joseph is the hand that would have been gripped by nails. This is going to happen. The feet that Mary would have lovingly caressed would be then brutally nailed to the cross. The back that Mary would have rubbed, ravaged by whips. The one whom Mary laid in the manger to sleep would be laid in the grave. We can never think about the birth of Christ without thinking about the death of Christ, because he came to die. He came to die. And he chose to do this for us because he loves us. He went willingly because he loves us with an everlasting love. And he did this in love, and that love then makes him desire to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. He identified with us, our humanity, our suffering. He identified so closely with us that he became our substitute. He became our substitute. But why? Why is it that he did this? He did it because he longs to dwell with his people. He came and he identified, and we see that through the birth of Jesus, God came to identify with us so that he could dwell with us. So Jesus, through the birth of Jesus, God came to dwell with us, and there's no greater blessing, there's no greater blessing that can be conceived than for God to dwell with his people. Over and over in the Old Testament, we read about that. God, I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will dwell in your midst. Listen to these words. One commentator puts it like this: in Christ, God came to dwell with the sick to heal them, with the demon-possessed to liberate them, with the poor in spirit to bless them, with the care-ridden to rid them of care, with the censorious to warn them, with the lepers to cleanse them, the diseased to cure them, the hungry to feed them, the handicapped to restore them, and most importantly, the lost to seek and to save them. He came so that we might be with him and that he would dwell with us. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ dwelled with his people physically. He came and for 33 years he walked the earth. He walked the earth. John tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Paul says that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. But he's no longer here. In the flesh. He has ascended into heaven. But Jesus is God who dwells with us now spiritually, doesn't he? He says, it's better that I go, because if I go, I will send another one to be with you, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And we can approach God now through the Lord Jesus Christ because of his righteousness. This is as we go back to Psalm 24, the reason that we can ascend the Mount of the Lord, the reason that we can come to his holy hill, because in the Lord Jesus Christ we have clean hands and a pure heart. Because that's the problem. By nature, we don't. We don't have clean hands. We don't have a pure heart. And only one human in the history of humanity could possibly hope to ascend the Mount of the Lord, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he had to come down to earth. Think about it like this. The Lord Jesus Christ came down to earth so that we, in him, could ascend to heaven. He came down to earth so that we, in him, could ascend to heaven. And not only does he dwell with us now spiritually, but he will dwell with us eternally. This is the promise that is given. If we're told in the beginning of Matthew that the one who is coming is Emmanuel, translated God with us, Jesus himself tells us at the end of Matthew, as he gives his church the Great Commission, he ends it with these words, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us even now and will be with us forever. And I love this picture that is given in the Old Testament and the New Testament of the time when God will dwell with his people, pointing to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35, hear these words. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. The name of that city shall be the Lord is there. The Lord is there with his people. In Revelation 21, 3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. That's the outworking of Emmanuel, God with us. He came to be with us, identify with us, taking upon himself human flesh, so that we might be with him. And this was foretold, it was predicted through the prophet Isaiah 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah the prophet predicted that a virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Matthew then applied this prophetic word to Jesus, explaining to his readers that Jesus is the coming Emmanuel, the one who is God with us. And so through the birth of Jesus, God has so identified with humanity that he knows what it is like to be physically weak. He knows what it is like to be tired. He knows what it is like to suffer. He knows what it is like. He experienced everything we experience as humans, except he had no sin. He experienced all of the suffering, and he was the only one who didn't deserve to experience any of it. And yet he came. But this is interesting. Now listen to this. There is one thing Jesus experienced that those who believe in him will never experience. One thing that Jesus experienced that those who believe in him will never experience: the wrath of God and the pains of hell. He experienced that so we will never experience it. And Jesus so identified with us that he could, by experiencing the wrath of God for sin, become our substitute, taking our place. And it's because he became our substitute that we can now approach God. We have been given the sinless perfection of Christ, clothed with his righteousness. We are now those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place. All because of what Christ did. And this is the best news. This is the best news about Christmas. That in Jesus we are free to be with God, because God in Jesus freely came to be with us. And tomorrow we are going to celebrate Christmas. Christmas is a great time. I love being with family. I love giving gifts. Yes, I love receiving gifts as well. And I hope you enjoy tomorrow. I hope you enjoy time with family. I hope you enjoy that time when you are giving and receiving gifts. But what I want you to enjoy the most, and what I hope you think about, and what I hope you leave here with, is the knowledge that God in Jesus loves his people so much. This all comes out of his love. He loves his people so much that he would come down in order to bring us to himself. Because the reality is, what you get for Christmas really doesn't matter in the long run. It really doesn't matter in the long run. It's not going to last. You can't take it with you. But if you are trusting in Jesus, you have already received the greatest gift. Because in Jesus, God is with you. God is with you. God is with you in that he has identified with you. He knows what it's like to be a human. God is with you in that he dwells with you now and for eternity. And here's the reality: those whom God is with will never be without God. Those whom God is with will never be without him. That's the hope that comes from Christmas. Jesus came because he loved us. He is Emmanuel, God with us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we do not deserve the great gift of salvation that you have given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you did not come because we deserved it. You came because you love us. You came because you have loved us with an everlasting love, and you have demonstrated that to us in sending the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came, that he knows us, that he knows what we face, that he for us became sin so that we might become righteousness in him. Help us never to lose sight of this, even as we rejoice at the blessings that you have given us in this life. Help us to look to heaven and think of the wonderful blessing that you have given to us there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.